Daniel chapter 7. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, speak to us today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Daniel chapter 7, I'm going to begin in verse number 1. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And he wrote down his dream and he told some of the matters. Daniel spake and he said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and the four great beasts that came up from the sea, they were diverse one from another. And I'm not going to read down each verse about what takes place here. Just quickly to sum this up about these next several scriptures to highlight these points. What Daniel sees is this vision of four beasts that came out of the sea. And he says the first beast that came out was likened to a lion. He gives this description of it. And he says that it was like a lion that had eagle's wings. And those wings had been pulled off or plucked off of that lion. And so it was left there standing like a man, and a man's mind was given to it. And then it goes on, and it's very descriptive here, this dream that Daniel was given. And, you know, it's kind of like anybody had a dream, and you kind of wonder, what did I eat last night? Because you have some crazy dreams. And Daniel's dream was kind of even beyond anything that I have ever dreamed. And he gets very descriptive in what took place in this. And he says that there was another beast that came, and it was likened to a bear, and it had its paw raised, and it was ready to strike. And then verse 6, it describes this third beast that was like unto a leopard. And then a fourth beast, it says, was that rose up out of the ocean. And that fourth beast, it says, was so dreadful that he couldn't really even fully describe what the brutality and the ferociousness of this fourth beast that came. It says that fourth beast came, and it had, you know, like teeth of iron, and it was tearing apart its victims, and it was crushing them like animals. And that fourth beast, it says, it had 10 horns upon that beast. And Daniel said that as he began looking at that beast and saw the 10 horns that were upon its head, that there was another horn, a small horn, that appeared upon that beast and began to grow out of it. And that little horn had man's eyes, and as he watched it, that little horn came, and it began to speak. And this is Daniel in verse 9. You can see Daniel, it says that he watched as thrones were cast down and others were put into place. This means that Daniel, as he is looking down through this telescope of prophecy, as God has just kind of placed him here and is looking forward in time at all the rise and the fall of kings and kingdoms. And God is beginning to show him how these different beasts are representing these different kings and kingdoms that are going to come. It says that he watched as the thrones were put in place by the Ancient of Days, or by God, and they sat down to judge them. And it's showing this representation of what is going to take place in the end times, and how each and every one of us, it says that millions came and they sat before the one who was judging the people. You know that all of us are going to stand before the judge one day. Every single one of us, everybody is going to at one day stand before God. We don't get a pass. Nobody on earth is going to get a pass from standing before God. But we all are going to have to stand before God one day and take an account for what we have done in our life. That's not really what I want to get into today. I want to get down actually to verse number 25. In verse 25, we're going to just finish right here and then you can be seated. Verse 25, it says that he spake great words against the Most High. This is talking about that little horn that had man's eyes and it had a mouth that began to speak. And that little horn was a representation, or it was the Antichrist that this is talking about. And it says that the Antichrist, he began to speak great words against the Most High. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. And I want to, let's just lift up our hands in this place before we receive this word today. God, I pray that you would, God, open up the revelation to us, God, of what you have to speak into our lives. God, I pray that the word that goes forth today, Lord, that it could, Lord, unlock something in us. God, that your word, God, it is true and it is alive today. God, let it unlock in us, God, a season of outpouring. God, a season, God, of grace. A season, God, of plenty, God. Let it unlock something in us, God, that we have been longing for and waiting for. God, I pray that each and every one of us today, God, that we would receive this word. God, I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for what you have done already in this service. But God, you are not done, God, and let your work continue here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can be seated here today. Amen. But this is the subject that I want to talk on today. Has anybody ever talked to the devil? Anybody ever talked to the devil? You're kind of nervous there because you're like, I don't want anybody knowing I talk to the devil. But you know, I talk to the devil sometimes. I tell him, devil, come on, stop talking to me. Stop telling me that I can't do what God has told me I can do. Sometimes I just turn to the devil and I say, get behind me. I already have a victory over you. You've already been defeated. Sometimes you just have to turn to him and put him in his place. Sometimes you just have to turn to the devil and let him know where his standing really is. You know, he is no match for the God that we serve. He is no match. It's not God in the boxing ring on this side and the devil on that side and we have a fair fight. That's not what it is. You understand that the devil was created by God. He is not God's opposite. He is the creation of God. And he was an angel that was up in heaven that then went and he had pride in himself and thought that he could be greater than God. And God showed him, he said, you are not greater than me. You cannot match up to me. You cannot sit in my throne. And he cast him out of heaven in an instant. In an instant, it says, there was like lightning that he fell down from heaven. And he's here, down here on the earth. He's down here and this is his realm now. And when we know that, you look around and you understand that. Now this is, you know, the devil, he has control. It says that he's the prince and the power of the air where we are at right now. He has some authority here, or he is just loosed and doing stuff as long as we give him that authority. Amen. That the devil is here, but there is an end to the story and we already know it. You already know the end. And sometimes I just have to remind him of that. Sometimes I just have to remind him, you know what? The word of God says that if I have his spirit in me, then I have power over you. That I can tell you that you be bound or somebody be loosed and they will be loosed. I have power over you as long as I have the spirit of God in me. Amen. You know, there's just sometimes when I have to turn to the devil and say, you are a liar, devil. I know you build up a whole big charade and make it look like you have this all, you understand all of this and that you think that you can tell me how my life is going to go, but you are a liar and you are the father of lies. Come on, there's just some days where I just need to talk to him. I just want to say, get your hands off of me, devil. Get your hands off of me, devil. And this is what I'm going to speak on today. If you could, actually just repeat after me, if you would, this message, this sermon title that we have today. It says, get your hands off of my season. Come on, get your hands off of my season, devil. Get your hands off of my season, devil. You don't have power over my season. Now maybe you're like, what does that mean, my season? Well, we're going to get to that, about what my season is. It says there, we read it already in verse number 25 of Daniel chapter 7, but it says that he shall speak great words. Now this is the Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist, that it says will speak great words, or he can talk a big game. He can begin to speak things, and it's as though they were, but they really aren't, and what he's making it all out to be. But it says he shall speak great words against the Most High. He's going to begin to speak against what the Word of God says. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now that's kind of a hard thing to read, to know that that he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That there is times when the spirit of the Antichrist, when the devil can come and he can wear out the saints of God. Has anybody ever experienced that in your life where you just kind of feel worn out? You feel worn out from all the things that you've gone through. You feel a little bit worn out because you just keep facing battle after battle. And you just feel a little bit worn out because you have been struggling from time to time. And maybe that time to time feels like, just all of time. And here you are, and you just get a little bit worn out. And then it continues. It says, and think to change times and laws. To change times and laws. Correct rendering, to understand that the phrase there, the times and laws, what he is speaking of there is the seasons, the times that change, the laws of nature that are set forth. He thinks that he can come and he can change the times and the laws in the saints of God, or he can change the times and the laws. Now this is a prophecy that is looking forward to the end times, or a time of the end time during the tribulation period. It's looking forward to that. But there is a dual meaning here. There is something that is established here, a principle of what the spirit of an Antichrist or the devil can do to the people of God, or what he tries to do to the people of God. It is established in the Word of God that Satan is going about and he's at war against the people of God. He's at war against us. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that we're at war. Sometimes we forget and we sit here in church and we wonder, why am I not feeling like engaged? Why do I see everybody else around me that's getting so excited, that's getting a blessing from God, and here I am and I just don't feel it? Well, that's because Satan is doing his dead best to get at you and to wear you out. To get you to believe that your relationship with God is just a little bit too far for repair. And he'll try to wear you out, and he'll try to change some seasons, it says. To change some seasons in your life. Now this is, as I said, it is a prophecy that Daniel is seeing here, looking forward to the tribulation period, about the time when, about midway through the tribulation, the church is already gone at this point, but he says that there's going to be 3.5 years into the tribulation period that the Antichrist will reveal himself, and that will take place. But I believe that the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well here today. And we don't have to wait until that moment, boom, the 7 years of tribulation appear and then the Antichrist is here. But no, I think, it is true that the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, is alive and well, and it's working today. Anything that would work against the spirit of God or work against the word of God is truly the spirit of the Antichrist. I fully believe that the spirit of Antichrist is in this world today, and it's affecting the saints of God. It's wearing some people out. It's affecting families. It's tearing families apart today. It's people who are just stressed out to the max because here they are and they can't pay their bills and they just can't get by. You know, they're losing their jobs and troubled marriages are there, and you have disobedient children, and you have sickness that's, you know, coming one thing after another, or mental or spiritual fatigue, different things that just keep coming attack after attack, and he's trying to wear you out. He's trying to get you to believe that here you are and living for God is always going to just be this hard road. And if he can just wear you out, then he's won the battle. But I just want to tell you that he doesn't have control over the seasons. He doesn't really have control over the seasons. You know, seasons are true, and seasons are a real thing. And he will get you to believe that he has control over them. You know, there's sometimes when Satan, he's really good at the mind games that he plays, and the war that he is waging on the people of God. You know, he's really good at strategic warfare, and he will play his moves really well. He can lay his groundwork really well in our lives sometimes so that we believe the lies that he has set out for us. And sometimes, you know, we're just kind of playing checkers as he's playing chess. But I want you to get up to his game and to understand the game that he's playing. Understand, devil, you may think that you have me here. You may think that I'm going to believe that I'm stuck in this life like this forever. But I want you to understand that God has control over my life. And I can claim victory. Come on. I believe that God has something greater for me. I believe that God has another season for me to go into. I just happen to believe. Now, maybe there's somebody in here today and you're in a great season in your life and you want to live in that forever. Amen. The bad news is you're probably not going to live in that forever. Amen. But I'm talking to somebody in here today who you've been going through some stuff. You've been fighting some devils. You've been fighting some things in your mind wondering, God, where are you at? God, is this going to last forever? God, is this going to be like this forever? And I want you to know that it's not going to be like this forever. It's not going to be like this. And you here today, I want you to just stand up and tell Satan that you don't have control over my season. You don't have control over my season. You know, there are seasonal cycles in every believer's life. And I've had times in my walk with God where I said, okay, God, where are you at? God, where are you in this right now? I like get on my knees and I just don't feel it. There's times where I've prayed and I've found, you know, God, I don't feel anything. And maybe it even lasts for a couple weeks or months even. And we feel just lost, or we feel just, you know, a little bit down, or just disembodied from the church and from the body of Christ. And here we are. And what I've found is, That's normal. It's actually not abnormal for there to be seasons in your life where you will go into a place where it just doesn't feel like you are completely connected, where it doesn't feel like you are every time, you know, God is just right there whenever you need him. It's normal. You're not going to live in a season of blessing all of the time. There are going to be times that are a little discouraging. It's normal for us, even as Christians, to go through times that are a little bit discouraging. But here's what I want to say. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, because there is an end to that season. The seasons cycle. The seasons change. And yes, the season may come where there's discouragement and you may feel a little bit disconnected. But don't be dismayed, because the season is going to end. The season will end, and don't you lose your salvation, or don't you lose your walk with God in the midst of that season, because Satan has told you that season is going to last forever. Don't you lose your walk with God in that season, because He has convinced you that you are bound to that season for the rest of your life. Don't be discouraged. Now, I want to get into some of these seasons that we have in our life, because everything has certain seasons, certain cycles that it goes through. These are normal things. It's natural. Here in Indiana, we know all about them. In fact, sometimes with our weather, we can experience all four of them in one day. But overall, when we look at the seasons, it's not really just about the weather patterns of one day, but you look at the seasons and you see that each of these seasons do have distinct differences to them. You know, we don't expect to have snow in the summer. And we don't expect there to be an 80 degree day in the winter, although we probably have had them. But we don't expect that. There is a distinct difference between each of these seasons that we go through. We have winter and spring and summer and fall. And in each of these, they're not just random things that take place, but these, I believe, are God-ordained things and seasons. And they're here for a reason, for the life of the earth, and the things that grow here. And this thing called seasons are here for a reason. Every life has seasons. In fact, everything that is living has cycles or has seasons. As a child, as an adolescent, as a teenager, as an adult, we go through different seasons in our life. And God has designed all of this. This is all part of His grand plan that we have seasons in our life. Even our bodies will go through different seasons and different cycles that our body will go through. See, the winter time is a time when everything, you look out in the winter, and it just kind of looks like everything is dead. You see all the trees, and all the leaves have fallen off of the trees. And, you know, if you would look at that, you would think almost that those trees have died, and there they are in this dead state. But there's a reason why God designed that season of winter. Things that seem dead are going to come back to life. For these plants, not much is going on above the surface, which you can see. But what you don't see is that during that winter season, the roots of that plant are digging down deeper into the ground. The roots of that plant are still continuing to grow. While there may not be anything that's taking place in what you can see up above, down below, there's some roots that are beginning to really get firmly planted into the ground, because there's going to come a day when there comes life back into that, and it's going to need those strong root systems that have grown during this time. Even when you don't feel like everything on the outside looks like it's growing, deep down you're understanding, and I'm talking spiritually now, that during our winter season, that we learn to trust in God. We learn that it's during those times that we truly see that God is my provider. That's not just a description that's given to Him in the Word of God, but I know it for myself now, that God provided for me. I know He's my comforter. I know, and I can understand that because I've lived it. There's a season of winter, and there's things that we begin to understand because we have lived through it, and there is still things that are happening even though it feels like it may be a dead season. It is really just a season where God is planting us or getting us stronger, and we are going to come out in a time of growth before long. This is the time when God says, I'm going to just cause this chemistry of the earth system to make these roots dig down deeper. And these things are necessary so that this plant can store the nutrients that it's going to need for the springtime. So God, here He is. He's working behind the scenes in the winter. Even the snow. We see the snow, and the snow is there, and we think, you know, kind of what's the purpose of that? Well, there's a couple different purposes. One is that snow, as it melts, it begins to water all of this during the springtime, that the growth that needs to take place when it warms up, all that snow is provided that water for these plants to be able to grow. But besides that, there is still a purpose for it during the wintertime. That snow serves as a blanket, or serves as something that will actually, even though it's cold, it will keep the seeds of the maple trees and of the grass seeds that are down on the ground. It actually keeps them warm because it serves as a blanket for them, and it keeps them from completely freezing so that they can more easily germinate when it comes springtime. They can more easily reproduce because of the blanket that the snow provided for them. So even those things that we look out and we say, man, I'm just so tired of the snow. I'm just so tired of how cold it is out there. God's divine design is such that even those things are causing something to be able to grow when that season comes for growth. You have some life coming. Well, winter is this time that where you are going to have to live off of what took place in the past. You may have to live off of what was produced in the past, in the fall, in the harvest time. Now today we can just run to the grocery store, but they didn't used to have the availability to go to the grocery. Now we probably have to go way back before they didn't have grocery stores, but for the most part, there was a time when people they had gardens or they had fields where they would go out and they would produce, and maybe it was even you growing up that you had your own garden that you would go out and even today I know people still they'll can you know the food that they produce in their garden, and so that you know that they can use that throughout the winter time when there's nothing growing. There's nothing that's there for them to live off of during that winter time. But because I had something in the fall, because I had something in the harvest time, now I can live off of that during the winter time. And so during your winter season, this is a time where you can live off of the fact that you know that God has done something for me in the past. God has provided for me in the past. I'm not going to be in despair forever because I know that God has delivered me. I know what God has done for me. Come on, you don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be in dismay. You don't have to live with heartache. Know that God has provided, and I'm going to live off of the blessings of God and the promises of God, and knowing that the Word of God is true because He's done it for me before. Now, just as you have a winter season, you also have a spring season. During the spring, everything comes back to life. There's all kinds of activity and seeds. They begin to take root and growth occurs during that springtime. You can't just sleep through the spring and expect growth to occur in your life. You need, when it comes springtime, to get plugged in to what God is trying to do and to say, God, I'm ready. God, if you want, Lord, for me to grow, then I'm ready for the time of growth. And my boy, if it's Gerald, he has woken me up many times during the night and said, my feet hurt. My feet hurt. We'll be driving in the car and he's in the back seat. My feet hurt. Can you rub my feet? Because of growing pains. Anybody ever experienced growing pains? And you had those and they hurt and there you are, and you know, there may be some growing pains, and there may be some things where it gets a little bit uncomfortable when we're growing. But I want us to push through the growing pains because, you know what, there's going to come new life. There's going to come a blessing. There's going to come something special for us if we can get through the growing pains and understand, God, I'm going through this season, and I'm not going to try to sleep through it and just say, I'm good with what I already have. But God, I want to grow in you. God, if you want to continue to reveal things to me in your word, God, I want to grow in the knowledge of your word. God, I want to grow in the ministry. God, I want to grow in whatever it is that you have for me. Well, I know it may be uncomfortable for you to go and to teach a Sunday school class, but maybe God has it out for you to go and teach a Sunday school class. Or a Bible study that you would need to teach. And you say, I don't think I can do that. It's going to hurt. It's uncomfortable. You know what? The growing season's uncomfortable sometimes. The the growing season, God's saying, I still have this for you though. And if you could just accept this, it's springtime right now. And I want you to grow. I want you to be more mature tomorrow than you are today. I want you to be more mature next year than you are right now. And when you walk in this life with me, I want you to have a season of growth and have seasons of growth where you are seeing that there is something that you are drawing closer and closer to God. And you are becoming more like Him, and you are becoming somebody who will do when God speaks, you will do what He says. That's growth that is taking place, and it may not be always be comfortable. Amen. But it is necessary for us to go through these seasons of growth. But then there is the summer season, and we just entered into this season a couple days ago. But what is summer all about? You know, summer, many people would say this is their favorite season. They just love the summer, but you know, you talk to the farmer in the summer and sometimes, not, this isn't the case, you know, we just entered out or just came out of spring where we had, plenty of rain. But there are some summers that you go and you ask a farmer and they will say, you know, the summer, it gets hot and it gets dry and we need some rain. We need, it's a lot of hard work in the summer. It's, you know, just a little bit, is coming forth here sometimes and it's going to be a difficult time. You need to go during the summer and start to weed or make sure that things are not there that shouldn't be there. You need to make sure that you are watering the things that need to be watered, and the farmers out there in the fields and they're looking just for something to happen. And God send the rain. Maybe doing a little rain dance and God trying to figure out, God, what can we do? We need some rain. And here we are sometimes and you're wondering, when is the rain going to come down? No, it's not happening right now, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Come on, the summer is a time where we can expect, but it may take a little bit of work. This is that time where I was talking about this in the first service. I know not everybody was in here, but the first service, we were talking about the investment, the harvest. This is that time where you are investing in somebody's life. Where you are right there with them. You're teaching them Bible studies. You're right beside them and helping them when they fall down. You, in your own life, you need to make sure that you get picked back up, that you're weeding things out of your own life. You want some growth to take place. You want there to be a good harvest, that you're looking in your own life and you're saying, God, get this weed out of my life. God, I need you to make sure that I am water. You need to make sure that you're watering, that you're getting enough water, that you're spending enough time in the Spirit. That you're getting enough water in you to get you through into the harvest time. Come on, there's something that God wants to do in your life, but let's water it. Let's put ourselves, come on, let's get dug into the Word of God. Let's spend some time in prayer. That's the summer season. And eventually you get to the fall, and finally you have the payoff. You have the harvest. I love the fall time. I don't, just something about the color of the leaves changing, and don't necessarily love when it starts getting cold and rainy in the fall, but I love a nice cool fall day where it has changed, all the leaves have changed and just looks beautiful. And during that time, it's just a time of harvest, and you have that payoff from all these other seasons that you have gone through. It's just refreshing, and you have this time of refreshing. And this is, you know, one of the hardest lessons that you can learn in your life is that seasons are inevitable. Seasons are inevitable. Expect them. Expect seasons. And here's what you do. You stay prayed up. You stay ready. And when you enter into those blessed seasons, when you enter into those times of blessing and you feel like everything is going great, you just give God all the praise. You store up in the storehouses. You just continue to write down or think about all that God has done for you. You can have a gratitude journal. This is something my wife has talked about or told me about, is just keeping, you know, a gratitude journal. It's about just be thankful for all that God has done for you. Write it down. Just think, even it could change your life if you would just think about what God has done for you every day. You write down, you know, you can have the worst day of your life, but you could still thank God for something. I still have air that I'm breathing today. That may be the only thing that I'm thankful for. But God, I thank you for the air that I have to breathe. Come on, but there's other times where there's some big blessings and God begins to bless us. And you spend those times in those seasons and you just give God praise. But there may be other times where it feels like a drought. You know, the seasons I was talking about there, you know when they're going to happen. Every 3 months, you go from one season to the next, to the next. And that's in our calendar. Kind of changes a little bit as far as the atmosphere, what's taking place. And sometimes the actual season or the what's happening in our life, it could be a 6 month cycle. Maybe it's a year. Maybe you're just going things. It's even longer, and here you are, and you've gone through a season maybe of winter that feels like it's just lasting forever. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody today. Maybe you're in a season of winter. You're wondering, God, where are you at? God, are you there? Hey, God. God, I need you right now. And you're in this dry season, and it feels like if somebody were to look at you, you know, you try to put a little bit of a smile on your face. You try to show up to church and to clap your hands and praise God. But deep down, you feel like just a shell. You feel a little empty, and you feel this season. How long is this going to last? And it's during that season that Satan begins to talk to you, to tell you, God doesn't love you. God's allowing you to go through all this. He's done all this stuff, and here you are. You've lived your life for God. You're doing all this. You're taking these sacrifices. You know, God doesn't love you. You're what you're living in right now. You're just going to be miserable for the rest of your life if you stick this out. If you stick this out right now and you keep coming to church, you know, God isn't going to do anything for you. Look, He doesn't love you like He loves that person next to you. Look at them getting blessed. Look at them. Look at them getting blessed. And God loves them. He doesn't love you. Well, Satan begins to talk to you and he tries to take control of your season. He tries to take control of your season. And he's lying to you. He's lying to you. And he's saying some stuff that he has no power about over your seasons. He has no power over the seasons in your life. Seasons are natural, but he has no power to actually keep you in that season. So I want somebody in this place to get a little bit of boldness. Maybe just puff your chest out just a little bit. And look at the devil and tell him, take your hands off of my season. You stop messing with me and telling me that I'm stuck here forever. I'm not stuck here. I'm just grounding myself. I'm not going to be discouraged right now. And God, if you see fit right now, God, can I just come out of this right now and come into a season of growth? Devil, you don't have power over this, and you're not going to be able to speak to me and keep me discouraged and keep me in a place where I can't come out of this. And in fact, God, I just want to come out right now, and I'm ready for a season of growth. I'm ready for the blessings to come down in my life. Come on, is there anybody? Let's just stand in this place. I have some more I wanted to say, but let's just stand in this place. Is there somebody? Can we have our musicians come up here? It says, number one, the key is to trust God for your harvest. Trust God that He's able to bring you out of the season. And He's able to bring your harvest into your life. It says in Psalms chapter 31 verse 15, it says, my times, that's translated to mean my seasons. It says, my seasons are in your hands. Talking to God, my seasons are in your hand. God is the one who is in control of your seasons. Come on, are you not His bride? Does not God love you more than anything in this world? Are you not the apple of His eye? I just happen to believe that God wants to bless you today. I just happen to believe that God, as he can look at you and say, all right, it's time. It's time. Let's come into a season of fruition. Let's come into a season of growth. Let's come into a season where you can come and receive my blessings. Come on, if it's you right now, maybe you felt a little bit dry. Maybe you felt like you're going through a winter season. Could you look at the devil right now and tell him, no longer are you going to speak to me and tell me that I'm here forever. And God, I want to come out and to experience your blessings. Come on, would you come up into this altar area up here right now and just declare that, God, I want to receive your blessings. God, I want to come into a season of fruition. Hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands in this place. God, I receive it. Jesus' name.
Like nobody's watching, nobody's watching. Dance for you. Nobody's listening, nobody's listening. Sing for you, my Lord. I'm not holding anything, anything back. I will worship you with all that. Worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters, nothing else matters. Worship you, my Lord. I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters, nothing else matters. Worship you, my Lord. Jesus, Jesus, I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus, I'm not ashamed to shout out the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus! Yes! Hallelujah, Jesus!
Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed.
Come on.
Lord, I'm gonna dance for
you. Would you sing that?
Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed.
Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. shining out of you. Believe I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me, nothing's gonna silence me. Shining out of you. Believe I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me, nothing's gonna silence me. Shining out of you. Believe I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me, nothing's gonna silence me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Anything, anything, anything.